Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and as we get ready to pull out of the station with the old Six Eyes Gospel Bus, who do we got on board with us tonight, Ruth?
Well, got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you and me.
All right, well, what do you got in the way of prayer requests?
My nose is running. other than that, I seem to be doing okay. Emily had some requests from earlier, if you want me to reread them.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have here. Her mother, Susie Emily Seizure, Betty in Oklahoma fell down, Wanda and Donnie, something about a trip to Ashtabula.
Okay. And that's it?
Yeah, I'm complete there.
Okay, and then, of course, we want to remember all of our country's leaders. They'd seek after God, not after man. The situation over in Israel, continue to pray for Tim Gruber and his safety there as he continues to minister to the people there. We want to continue to pray for our military, all our first responders, police, fire, ambulance. We want to continue to pray for those who work in hospitals, nursing homes, as well as all the doctors and nurses that take care of the patients here and abroad. We want to pray for the patients in nursing homes, hospitals, as well as the sick and shut-in, the lost in general, especially that soul who is nearest hell. Of course, the needs for the blind ministry and for the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and with that, we're going to have you give us an opening prayer, and then we'll get right into our program.
Well, Lord, we know, and you know the request that I just mentioned, and you know everything, so I'm going to leave it to you and be with us on the show, and that people will get saved. And if they need anything else personal, you'll know from them. So we just love and praise your name.
Amen. All right. Tonight, well, we got a great show lined out for you tonight. First off, we are going to have our good Christian, of course, Christmas music, because it's that time of season as people think of Christ's birth. Of course, everybody knows that Jesus was not born December 25th, but rather it was actually in the fall of the year around September, October, but it was not during what we call December 25th, although later in the month we are going to be presenting a message that shows that it actually did happen when the wise men, the three wise men, or however many there were, showed up with their gifts of gold, silver, and myrrh, that they, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they showed up in Bethlehem, that it was December 25th. So we will be presenting that. So it was not when he was born, but when he was 2 years old when they showed up. We'll be showing that later in the month, so you can look forward to that. But right now, we've got a message that will be presented tonight from our archives of the Holiness Bibles for the Blind Ministry. You just click on, go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, click Sermons, then click Fearless Teachings, and go straight down the list till you get to the letter T. The sermons start with the letter T till you get to the sermon that's titled The
origin and teachings of the Masonic Lodge. The origin and teachings of the Masonic Lodge. And you could find out a little bit tonight about the teachings of that group. And then once that is done, we are going to have Brother Tim tonight. Will he make it 8 for 9, or will he be 7 for 9 tonight as he takes on the challenge yet again of the song and poem? And then after that, Sister Ruth will be presenting her Bible prophecy. And where will you take us tonight?
The Catching Away.
Ooh, okay. We'll be looking forward to that. The Catching Away. What is it? And all the details involved with that. So we'll be looking forward to that. And then we're going to open the mics at the end of the program for any other prayer requests that you, our listeners, may have. So let's get into our program tonight. Amen.
Some folks like the summertime when they can stroll about. Strolling through the meadow green is a pleasure, there's no doubt. But give me the winter time when the snow is falling down. 'Cause I found her when the snow was on the ground. I traced the little footprints through the snow, through the snow. I traced the little footprints through the snow. And I blessed that happy day. My darling lost her way, 'cause I found her when the snow was on the ground. Said she just stepped out, would be returning soon. I traced her little footprints that led me through the snow, and I found her when the snow was on the ground. I traced the little footprints through the snow, through the snow. I traced the little footprints through the snow.
Thank you. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, take a look at the 5 and 10. Listening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, there's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.
Pudging through the snow with a mule tied to a chain. The darn mule wouldn't go. We'd drag him all the way. The bobtail pulled it down like he was out of breath. It took all night to get him home, and the darn yet froze to death. Jangle bells, oh what misery. Don't hitch up, old Dobbin, if you're coming after me. Jangle bells, jangle all the way. You can have your open say, I'll keep my Chevrolet. Sliding down a hill on a low ramshackle sleigh, laughing fit to kill at something someone said. Forgot to watch the road, not watching where we went. We ran into a bar, bar fence, got a Christmas spirit again. Jangle bells, I have paid to find. Busted bones and aches and groans from falling on the ice. Jangle bells, dashing through the hills. All we'll get for Christmas is a flock of Dr. Bill. Slipping down the street on an old banana peel. Could not stay on my feet. They were sicker than an eel. My feet flew in the air, and I let out a yell. I landed on my pocketbook, and I broke my jangle bell. Jangle bells ringing in my head. Oh, what fun it is to slip and slither on a sled. Jangle bells, like the wise man said. Be careful where you slide, or you spend Christmas Day in bed.
call. Jangle bell, jangle bell, jangle all the way. We don't know all the words, but we'll sing it anyway. Jangle bells, jangle bells, ringing loud and gay. We'll be hearing jangle bells from now till Christmas Day.
Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, at gmail.com. Again, KJV, 1611, Ruth, at gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling either Station 1 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Or Station 2 by calling 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Press the number 1. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sundays on Station 1.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
The Six Eyes Gospel Show, but you get to praise that when I'm leaving the house.
1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And then on Station 2. Cover to cover study of the Word with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then on Mondays, on Station 2.
This is the Six Eyes Lost and Found. There are thousands of missing people every year.
Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Body.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then on Tuesdays, on Station 2.
Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me.
It's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to 6 in Rolling on Rolling Sound of the Six Eyes Radio.
8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesdays, on Station 2.
The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
Read it, read it backwards, read it forwards, read it backwards.
Bible Time with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, as well as Sister Emily Barnum, with great music and scripture, as well as stories by Ranger Bill, Uncle Bob, and Sister Ruth. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1. It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and then on Thursdays on Station 2.
Oh, so strong, 'cause
Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then on Fridays on Station 2.
Records on the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1
with AJ and the Squad.
8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Then on Saturdays, on Station 2.
Welcome, everybody, to the 6 Eyes Radio Network, backstage at 6 Eyes. Now, this is the show where I'm going to be interviewing various people, celebrities, entertainers, authors, poets, candlestick makers, you name it. If they're doing anything, I'm going to be interviewing.
8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And finally, last but not least, on Station 1.
What's going on? You're tuned into the hottest radio station, the 6 Eyes Radio Network. This is kicking it with 6 Eyes ATL and the crew. 6 Eyes ATL and the crew.
11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. Now it is time for the 6 Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40.
And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
So, what have you done to the least of Christ's brethren? Who are his brethren? They, Jesus said, in his word, they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven is the same, my brother, my sister, my mother, etc. These are his brethren. So, what you've done to them, when you give them a glass of water, when you give them something to eat, when you visit them in prison or in the hospital, nursing home, etc., how you treat them is how you treat Christ. You're not doing it to them. Remember, you're doing it ultimately to Christ. Found in our 6 Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Matthew 25 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Amen.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock, jingle bell time, jingle bell. bell time, dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in the one horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet, jingle around the clock. Mix and mingle in the jingling feet, that's the jingle bell rock.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell chime.
Let men their songs implore, while rock hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy.
Little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lord.
Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know is the great I
Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Ashtabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-7 1-888-440-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. It is now time for Tim and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you here with the Hebrew Word for the Week. And I would just thank you again for your prayers, not only for me, but also for the rest of the body of Christ here in the land of Israel, and also for the Jews and the Gentiles alike, the outpouring of God's Spirit, not just here in the land of Israel, but throughout the world these latter days as we wait for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Today's Hebrew word for the week is the word for truth. John 14:6, it is written, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Hebrew word for truth is emet. In using English letters, you would spell that E-M, as in Michael, E-T, as in Tom. Emet. And again, that's the Hebrew word for truth. And Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, he is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. All the roads lead to death, hell, and a lake of fire. Till next week's edition of the program, next week's Word of the King, this is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIX, E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
And
professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. Owl saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This peace officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
On the road. Amen. Our guest is one of America's leading Christian scholars, a man highly respected for his works defending Orthodox Christianity against false teaching. His name is Dr. Robert Morey, and his latest book is The Origin and Teachings of Freemasonry. Bob, it's my pleasure to welcome you again to our broadcast.
It's my pleasure to be back once again.
You have written on many subjects, including many of the cults, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. You've written about reincarnation. You've written about astrology. What made you pick the topic of Freemasonry to write upon?
Well, it is a topic that I've had various Christian leaders pushing me to write something on for several years. My good friend Walter Martin, John Ankerberg, and even Dr. Kennedy encouraged me to do the research and write on that topic. So much of the material that is now in print is not documented, it's not scholarly, and frankly, it contains a lot of foolish material that embarrasses the Christian church more than anything else.
In what way do you mean?
Well, there are frauds. There are con games that are being played by some Christians against Masonic leaders, against Freemasonry. And as Christians, when we want to deal with a topic, we must deal with it honestly. We must be forthright about it. We have to be scholarly. And we above all things, we must check out the facts before we repeat a rumor.
So overall, what were you attempting to do when you did the research on this book?
Well, the first thing I had in mind was to find out just where did Freemasonry begin. I'd heard so many different stories from Masons and non-Masons and anti-Masons, and one person telling me it began in the ancient Eleusinian mysteries, or another person saying, oh, no, it actually began with the Mayan Indians in South America. Or, oh, no, it was the people who built Stonehenge, and it was the Druids, and oh, no, it was the Catholics. This is a Jesuit conspiracy run by the Catholic Church. And down through the years, I've heard such wild and extravagant claims about the origins of Freemasonry. One, I just have a good, honest curiosity. And then secondly, I felt I could do service to people by digging through the evidence and wheeling away all the rubbish that has been laid on the origins and find out just when it did begin.
Well, let's go to that question now. When and where did what we know as modern Freemasonry begin?
Well, the plain truth is not very romantic. It started on June 24, 1717, in London at a tavern. It was the Goose Tavern that even had the word goose and grillion a tavern. And it started as a gentleman's club. And what most people fail to remember or fail to understand is that there were hundreds of such clubs that were started in London at that time. We still have these kinds of secret clubs today. President Bush belongs to three of them. And they are men's clubs where the idea, the upper class, these were clergymen by and large. They were aristocracy, wealthy businessmen. They could meet. They could smoke their cigars. They could have a glass of sherry. They could relax and read the newspaper. They could play some cards. They were isolated from the world and the problems there. No women were allowed. They were not allowed to discuss religion or politics. It was to be a polite gentleman's club, and they decided to use as their emblem the emblems of the old Masonic trade unions, which had long perished. And it started simply on that basis as a place to go and meet at a tavern, shoot a few darts and have a beer, and sit down and enjoy a male companionship. That is what it was all about at the beginning.
Now today, of course, you and I have both done research, and we see many contradictory writings coming from Masons. So why do we see these contradictions?
Well, toward the end of the 18th century, there was a fad in which groups and churches sought to find antiquity, and the older an institution was, the more valid it was deemed. So you had various Protestant churches which announced that they did not really come from the Reformation, but they had great antiquity that reached right back to the first century. One can think even in this country of the landmark Baptists, who instead of tracing their origins to Roger Williams in Rhode Island or to the Anabaptists or to the English Baptists, try to teach that the Baptist church goes way back to the first century, and because it's the oldest, it's the best. And this kind of attitude, that antiquity validates your institution, grabbed hold of various Masonic leaders and writers, and they went ahead and denied
that the organization began in 1717, but instead it began long, long ago. Now, many of these first writers were Christians, professing Christians. They were even clergymen, and they simply looked to biblical history as telling us the origins of Freemasonry, and they made wild and extravagant claims. They claimed that Adam was the first Mason, and his fig leaf was a Masonic apron. And they claimed then that maybe Cain and Abel were Masons, or maybe it was Noah, or maybe it was Abraham. And many of them went right on and said that Solomon in the building of the temple was the beginning of Freemasonry. They claimed that Jesus Christ was a Mason. John the Baptist was a Mason. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John. In other words, they claimed every single powerful figure in biblical history as being part of the Masonic Lodge. Of course, this was all one glorious fraud. Later, when the pagans took over, after the anti-Masonic movement, beginning around 1826, after the pagans began to take over Freemasonry, they threw out the Christian origin theory, and instead, they developed the idea that Freemasonry began in some ancient pagan religion. Now, they could say it began in China or Egypt, or India, or Greece, or Rome, or Britain, or Sweden, or South America, or North America. They even claimed, some of them, that Freemasonry was established on the island of Atlantis, or in the mystical land of Mu. And for every occultic pagan Masonic writer, there is another additional theory as to the origin, because none of these theories have a shred of evidence to back them up. If you look literally at the empirical evidence, Freemasonry began as a gentleman's club in 1717 at the Goose and Grillion Tavern in London, and that's all there is to it.
Beginning in about 1827, the anti-Masonic movement began and continued for about 20 to 25 years following the murder of Captain Morgan. And according to one source I've seen, as many as 90% of the Christians left the lodge under the urging of Christian leaders like D.L. Moody and Charles Finney. This is when occultism really began to take over in the lodge. Now, you say, Bob, that since about the 1920s, Freemasonry has developed along two basic tracks. Explain what you found in that regard.
Well, the conservative Christian folk, and these are mainline Christians, they belong to the Methodists, the Presbyterian, the Baptists, or whatever they are, they flooded back into Freemasonry going into the 20s, and that's when the membership in Masonry tripled and quadrupled and reached the height that it's never reached since that time. It was also during this period that the pagan writers, such as Manly P. Hall and others, began putting out book after book with the con game. And the con game is who has the secret teaching. And the idea is this. Freemasonry runs along two tracks. For the ignorant boobs out there who are regular members of the Christian church, we feed them the line, because they're too stupid to understand anything else, that the symbols and the teachings of Freemasonry, now that's not really a religion. It's a charitable fraternity. It's not a religion. And they can be a Methodist pastor and a Mason, and it really there's no conflict. But then there is really, truly a deep inner secret. And all of these secret writers all claim that they have the secret teaching. The only problem is they all disagreed among themselves as to what that secret teaching was and where it came from. And for $14.95, you could buy their book where they will tell you the real secret of Masonry is that it is the Druid religion, or it's the Aztecs, or the Mayans, or it's the mystery religions of Egypt, or Gnosticism, or it's the ancient religions and the fertility cults, things of that nature. So you now have developed where the vast majority of the membership, many of whom are Southern Baptists and Methodists, etc., are not pagan. In their views, they do not view themselves as druids in drag or as witches or Aztecs or mystery cultists. They see no conflict in their mind because they read into the symbols of Masonry their own Christian background. For example, the triangle would be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the leadership and the writers of the movement have only one string on their banjo, is that Masonry is a religion, and it's an occultic, anti-Christian, pagan religion. and they are doing their best to evangelize the bulk of the membership to convert them over out of Christianity into paganism. So what we have today is a civil war between the Christian Masons and the pagan Masons.
Bob, let's move now to Albert Pike, a monumental figure in the history of world Freemasonry. What makes him so central? Just who was he?
Well, Albert Pike is the man who, after the Civil War, single-handedly redesigned all of the higher degrees from the fourth right on through to the 33rd degree. He redesigned them using the material from the French Lodge, which was occultic. He particularly plagiarized from the works of an occultist by the name of Eliphas Levi, and he brought in all of this witchcraft and paganism and magic and all of this mystery gobbledygook into the southern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite. He took what was at that point a small Masonic lodge in shambles, when there were dozens and dozens of other Masonic organizations in competition, some of whom which were far bigger, far more influential than the Scottish Rite. He took it, and by the time he was through, he developed it into perhaps the most powerful of all the Masonic organizations worldwide. He is known most for his book, Morals and Dogma, which is today still pushed and published as being the official, the book with the imprimatur of Masonic leaders and Masonic publishing houses. He was honored in such a way that at his death, his body was dug up from burial in the Episcopal churchyard and taken and by an act of Congress reburied in the House of the Temple. And as you come into the House of the Temple, you'll see a bronze bust of Albert Pike. You will be escorted to the Albert Pike room. Then if you go, and on the cover of my book on Origins and Teachings of Freemasonry, I have a picture, it's going to be a photo, of the life-size statue of Albert Pike around 4th and Indiana in Washington, D.C. So here's a man buried by an act of Congress, a temple, as it were, reared on his bones, and a life-size statue of him placed in Washington, D.C. Obviously, this guy is important.
What were the religious beliefs of Albert Pike?
Well, Albert Pike was raised in a devout Christian home, like Aleister Crowley, who was another occultic Masonic writer. He rebelled against the Christian teaching of his godly father, and even though he had been raised in the Christian church and even sang in the choir, it was probably during his time, his brief period as a student at Harvard, that the skeptics and the anti-Christians got to him. And he was turned off when it came to the Bible and Christ and Jesus, and he was turned on to the Eastern religions, to Buddhism, to Hinduism, particularly to the writings of the Hindus called the Vedas, which supposedly came from the ancient, mysterious Aryan race. In terms of his writings, most of his material has never been published, or if it has been published, was published only in 100 copies, and they were kept at the House of the Temple and only given to the leaders. What we find in the literature that he has left us, and most of this can be found in the library at the House of the Temple, is that he believed that there was one ancient religion at the dawn of history because there was only one great human race. It was the white Aryan master race, which was the superior race of all races. He did not believe in evolution or creation because he said, all men were not created equal. One look at the Negro, he said, would convince you that the black man and the white man have nothing in common. And the Aryans supposedly produced the two ancient scriptures of the Vedas. And these Vedas formed the basis of Albert Pike's thinking. And then he added to that the magical occultic writings of Eliphas Levi and some of the teaching that he found in a man by the name of Godfrey Higgins. And all of this material is then transported by way of plagiarization into Morals and Dogma. He does not tell you and that he's quoting these people, that he's using their material. He takes credit for it. I even show you in the book, Bob, I give you a quote from Eliphas Levi, and then I show you a page from Morals and Dogma where you can read almost verbatim the exact same material, except there Albert Pike is claiming that it's his material, and never acknowledging that he has lifted 99% of morals and dogma from other people. In terms of his views, he's basically classical Hindu. He believed that ultimate reality was non-personal. There is no personal God. He was very concerned because people did consider him an atheist. And in one sense, that's exactly what he was, because he denied the existence of the God of the Bible and any personal God. And he believed that ultimate reality was one, but two, it had a divine principle, and that all things that we see around us are actually mayan or illusion. There is no pain. There really is no evil. There is no matter. All is mind. He would have been a perfect New Ager, in short.
Well, as we get close to summing things up for this half hour, obviously there has been much of anti-Masonry, if we may call it that, still surviving today ever since the 19th century. Approximately 1 billion out of 1.3 billion Christians in this world exist in churches that have some sort of ruling against Freemasonry. Is anti-Masonry legitimate? Is it based upon legitimate charges today, do you feel?
Well, absolutely. And when you think about the fact that the Catholic Church, the Lutherans, the Reformed, the Baptists, the Fundamentalists, when you have Christians from every spectrum, from Catholicism to Fundamentalism, objecting to Freemasonry because of all the paganism and occultism that has been woven into it by people like Albert Pike, they have legitimate concerns. If Freemasonry is, as Albert Pike, Manly P. Hall, and many other occultic pagan writers claim, then it is radically anti-Christ to the core, and Christians have a right to object. The thing to do with those who are Christians and Masons is that they have the choice. They can either clean up the mess, take a shovel, and begin to clean out the Masonic stables and wheel away the rubbish of all this witchcraft and paganism and throw it in the trash and return Freemasonry back to its Christian roots, or they're going to have to leave. That's really the only two choices they have.
At this point, Robert, why do you feel that so many Christians have not seen any conflict between Freemasonry and their Christian beliefs?
Well, most of the Christian Masons, and many of them are evangelical, people like Jesse Helms is a 33rd degree, there's a well-known evangelist, and there's other pastors involved. They are in a lodge where they run it the way they want to run it, and they don't bring in any paganism and witchcraft. They don't bring in any Druid teaching. And also, they are not much in terms of reading. I remember the Southern Baptist Church that my grandmother was a charter member of, and the times that I visited her, I noticed as a young person that it was automatically assumed that after you joined the Southern Baptist Church there in Orlando, Florida, you also became a member of the Masonic Lodge. The pastor and all the deacons were Masons, and it was assumed that that was just part of your rite of passage as a young man. And I was even asked, well, as a young man, if you're going to be a Southern Baptist, why don't you become a Mason as well? So you have many well-meaning people involved in Masonry for social reasons, church reasons, business reasons, and they don't have a clue and never studied the issue, and they don't realize that the money they're sending in for dues and membership is supporting publishing houses that are pumping out all of this occultic pagan teaching that is attacking the Christian church today.
Now, you do admit in your book that Freemasonry apparently is dying as far as the membership is concerned today, but you also have proposed a solution to that.
Well, I believe that Freemasonry is dying because the more pagan it becomes, the more out of step it becomes with the main population. If you're going to make Freemasonry into a New Age religion with its own temples and rites and ceremonies, it simply will not appeal to the majority of the American people. The majority of Americans do not consider themselves witches, Satanists, Druids, or whatever. They still consider themselves Christians as opposed to being non-Christian. Any poll shows this to be the case. What I do propose is that if there are Masonic leaders who are Christians who want to see Freemasonry saved from eventual extinction as we move toward the year 2000, by which time 50% of the membership will be gone, then a grand conference should be called in which Masonic leaders and anti-Masonic leaders can sit down and work out the problems. If all of the things that are offensive to Christians were removed out of Freemasonry, out of its rituals, out of the degrees, if those things which are unbiblical, such as the idea that you can work your way to heaven, or that every name of every deity is the same, all gods are the same, which again is heresy, if these anti-Christian elements, which are really bigotry, are removed, then Christians perhaps would not have as many objections to being a Mason. So what I propose is, why not meet at the conference table and work and hammer these things out if anyone in Masonry is interested in doing that? But if there are no Mason Masonic leaders who are interested in redesigning the craft so it no longer offends Christians from Catholicism to fundamentalism, then Freemasonry has gone too far in the direction of paganism, and it'll simply have to die.
Robert, I know you've had a chance to present this information in a seminar-type format. What has the reaction been from those who are involved in Masonry?
Well, I was very pleased in terms of a Grand Master showing up, Masonic chaplain, individual Masons. The first part of the book, which I gave the lectures, which dealt with the history of Freemasonry, they were frankly delighted because they have waited a long time for some historian, some scholar, to untie the Gordian knot, wheel away the rubbish, and reveal the true origins of Freemasonry. Then toward the end, when I put them in the corner, either you have to clean up your house or you have to get out, but you cannot simply allow the situation to continue to degenerate. That's when I left them with that dilemma. One of them said that he knew what I was saying was exactly true. There is a civil war going on. The Christian Masons do feel offended. And, for example, if you're a Hindu, you can pray as a Mason, you can pray in the name of Krishna. If you're a Muslim and a Mason, you can pray in the name of Allah. Every religion can pray in the name of its God except Christians. They are the only ones not allowed to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Christians are feeling like second-class citizens. Their rights are denied. The pagans are exalted, and they're getting fed up. So I think I have struck a responsive chord with the millions of Masons out there who want to be Christians and who are very much exasperated with the direction that Masonry is taking today.
Well, unfortunately, Robert, we've run out of time, but as someone who has studied Freemasonry for about the last couple of years, I want to thank you for the work you've done, and I want to thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, and let's hope it does some good.
We've been visiting with Dr. Robert Morey, author of more than 20 books, including today's focus, The Origins and Teachings of Freemasonry. Dr. Morey said there at the end, he hopes this interview does some good, and to a great extent, that depends upon what you do. This is Bob Allen for James Kennedy, wishing you God's richest blessings and a wonderful, wonderful day. Truth to Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Views expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Dr. D. James Kennedy, Coral Ridge Ministries, or this station.
And now it is time for Tim to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Don't you think it's time?
could understand. The love and only love can join the tribe of man.
Words are what you make them, your master or your slave. Words can make you friendless or bring the friends you crave. For words can make an enemy or make a faithful friend. Words can slash and rip and tear, and words can cure and mend. Some words are speeding bullets that wound or sometimes slay, and some are healing potions that drive despair away. Words can wreck and ruin. Words can build or save. Words are what you make them, your master or your slave.
All right, Tim, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
I believe I can give you the answer, okay? Okay. I don't remember the exact citation, but I'm saying the common theme between that song and that poem can be summed up in this one proverb. It's not that there's not other ones that also fit, but this is the one that comes to my mind. The power of life and death are in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, basically, common theme you could say is, loving your tongue in such a way as to love your neighbor as yourself.
Are you sure you're going to have that for your final answer?
Yes, get it out. That was my final answer.
Well, Tim, just the proverb that you quoted, it gave you the good buzzer. Ooh, yeah. The power of the tongue. That's all you had to say. That's all you had to say. Gave it. Oh, man. Still on the gas. All right.
Hallelujah. I'm 8 for 9.
Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Tribulation.
When that flame is darkened,
tribulation.
lesson is the catching away. In the end of this age, the day of grace, Jesus Christ will come down from the third heaven, stop in the first heaven where the clouds are, and urgently and commandingly call us to come up to meet him. This long-anticipated coming of Christ is referred to by many Christians as the catching away, or the translation, removal of the church. To some it is known as the rapture, though the word rapture does not appear in the Bible Scripture. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even some of them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17. Sounds exciting, I tell you. It's wonderful. Praise his name. Christ will not come to the earth at that time, as some so-called Bible authorities erroneously teach, because if he did, he would have to go to the Jews to whom he has promised to return in person at his revelation, his physical return, which takes place at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Before Christ appears at his revelation, the Jews and all others who are left on the earth after the catching away are to be dreadfully punished with 7 years of tribulation. The last segment of the 70 weeks of Daniel, as prophesied by Gabriel, has not been used. It must. Scripture, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24:21-22. In explaining the catching away, some teachers use the word rapture. Although the word is not to be found in the Bible, it's not wrong to use the word rapture because it means to catch away quickly. Since it has that meaning, it's perfectly proper to describe the catching away of the born-again people from the earth to meet Christ in the air as the rapture. Please note how the following scripture describes that momentous occasion. Here's the scripture. Behold, I show you a mystery, tell you a secret. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, very fast, at the last trump, no connection with trumpets of revelation, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:51-53 in your KJV Bible. From this exciting portion of Scripture, which is to be fulfilled in the future, we can see and understand that our change from the corrupt fleshly body to the incorrupt spiritual body will take place in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. That's why I like to call the homegoing of the Christian the catching away. It will happen quickly. It is yet in the future. Paul brings out the interesting point that not all Christians will die physically, but at the time of the catching away, the living will be changed from mortality to immortality as quickly as the dead will be raised to immortality. It will take place quickly. In the Greek it says, in a tunnel, in an atom of time. In other words, flash, and as will be all be over. Happen in a signal at the last two trumpets, which will be blown at that time. Sound of the first trumpet, the dead in Christ will be raised. When the last trumpet is blown, the living will be changed to immortality. Then the catching away will take place. The saved, born again, will be taken to be with Christ. Praise the Lord. I know I'm going, and I hope everybody gets there, but I know some people won't because they're stubborn. I just like to see everyone saved.
Will this amazing chase take place with regard to our bodies? Forever after it will be impossible for us to die. That's why John says, Scripture, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, but is passed from death unto life, John 5 and verse 24. Death will never again have any power over born-again Christians after they've been caught up. Scripture, for when this corruptible shall be put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. In order for us to be able to take part in the catching away, we must have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us. This is absolutely necessary. Please note the absolute divine authority of the statement. Here's the scripture. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8 and verse 11. God leaves no room for doubt. So those who are born again can know we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, for we read, the Spirit, that's Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit, or man's spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that we are the children of God. That's Romans 8 and verse 16. The logical reason we who are born again believers are going to be suddenly snatched away from this earth and taken up to the clouds to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, who will take us up to heaven, is given in this verse from the Bible. Here it is. For then, after the period of grace closes, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24 and verse 21. Those of us who are born again will escape being here on the earth during the tribulation period known as Jacob's trouble. Scripture, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21 and verse 36. Scripture, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation with the tribulation period, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth, Revelation 3:10. And remember, Jesus Christ is coming quickly to fulfill his promise. Scripture, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast keep hold of what you have, that no man take thy crown, Revelation 3 and verse 11. Scripture, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. See, I'm coming very soon, bringing with me my rewards to repay everyone for laboring for me. Revelation 22:12, KJV. Another scripture. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. He who testifies in all this says, it is true, I'm coming very soon. Revelation 22:20. Of course, nobody knows the exact hour of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nobody on earth or in heaven except God knows exactly when Christ will come. If anyone even suggests to you that he has the key to this mystery, keep away from him. He's a false prophet. The Bible does not reveal when the rapture will take place. Scripture, therefore be ye also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24, verse 44, KJV. Scripture, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24 and verse 36. In his tender, infinite mercy, God has told us so we may know when the second coming of Jesus Christ is near. He doesn't want us to be completely ignorant concerning the catching away. So God pulls back the curtain of prophecy in order that he might not be completely in the dark concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the scripture, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, all the prophecies fulfilled, know that it is near, even at the doors. Matthew 24 and verse 33. Then we're giving the last prophecy to be fulfilled before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Pray tell me, what are the preachers who say there are no signs for Christ's second coming going to do with this verse from the Bible? Here's the scripture. And while they, the foolish virgins, the Jews, went to buy, the bridegroom Christ came, and they were ready. The church went in with him to the marriage supper, and the door was shut. Matthew 25:10. It certainly will be a terrible, calamitous time for those who miss the catching away. Because of them being separated from loved ones, the saved loved ones will suddenly be taken from the earth, and the unbelieving kin be left behind, even though it be a parent or a child. Scripture. But, and if that evil servant, unconverted, shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he was not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, separate him from his loved ones and friends, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24, verses 48 to 51. Catching away will visibly affect the whole world, no matter what a person is doing. If he's born again, he will stop doing it and depart from this earth to go and to be with the Lord. Can you imagine the chaotic conditions and circumstances this will create? He may be driving along the highway in his car, perhaps as a sailor. He may be carrying out his responsibilities in a submarine deep down in the ocean. As a soldier, he may be serving in an army of occupation in some foreign land, thousands of miles from home, or he may be in a worship service in his local church. If so, he will not wait for the benediction, but will leave at once. All the manifold activities connected with the lives of the born-again believers will stop. This will be on an international scale. A person may be in a hospital undergoing a major operation. It will make no difference. When Christ gives the summons, all of our bodies will be changed from corruption to incorruption. That is, they will never again be corrupted, and we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. This event will have a tremendous effect in a worldwide scale upon the people remaining upon the earth. The fact that the born-again Christians are missing well after the course of history. There just isn't words to describe this world system after the rapture. Time of the catching away, our present bodies will be changed to be like those of angels. Scripture. Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they will neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are as the angels of God in heaven. Matthew 22, verses 29 and 30. Furthermore, in order to take part in the catching away, we must have on the wedding garment. Scripture. And when the King Christ came in to see the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless because he wasn't born again and didn't know what the King Christ was talking about. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him, unsaved church member, hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:11-13. Immediately after the catching away and before we go to the marriage supper, there is to be a detailed judgment of our works. The marriage supper, which follows this judgment, is to be a sort of vestibule of joy in the bridal chamber. And when we go into it, there will be nothing unaccustomed for, but that's why there must be a judgment first. Scripture, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall enter every man have praise of God for receive from the God the praise he deserves. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Scripture, I tell you, in that night, the catching away, there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Luke 17 verses 34 to 36. This inevitable separation still in the future will take place all over the world, just as Elijah was separated from Elisha and caught up. One minute Elijah was standing on the earth, and suddenly there appeared a chariot of fire, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind in heaven, into heaven. 2 Kings 2:11, KJV. He was ready to go. He didn't have much time to make any last-minute preparations. Make sure you're ready to go, too. When Christ comes, what a difference it will make for those who are ready. Scripture, and it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they buried wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, is rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17, verses 26 to 30. People were warned in Noah's day while Noah was building the ark. They paid absolutely no attention to him. The moment Noah went into the ark, there began a seven-day grace period. Then the door was shut, the flood came, and those on the outside of the ark were all swept away in the floodwaters. God said to Abraham, if you find 10 good men in the city of Sodom, I will spare the city. But 10 men could not be found. They just were not there. So down came the chastening wrath of God upon the city of Sodom. We were born again. Christians are the lightning conductors to keep away the wrath of God from the earth in this day and age. We are the light of this world. We are the salt of the earth. The moment we leave at the catching away, the world will be thrown into spiritual darkness and left without any preserving force, the soul. The lightning conductor, as it were, will have been removed, and down will come the wrath of God in the form of the great tribulation. At the same time, God is going to give all mankind over to a strong delusion, and the indigent wrath of God will be let loose upon mankind in a manner or degree never before experienced by human beings. Scripture, and with all deceitableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, judged, which believe not, the truth. But at pleasure and unrighteousness, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, KJV. Friend, please, surely you don't want to be here during this awful taste of tribulation. I beg of you to be fine watching and waiting when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds to catch away those of us who have been born again. It won't be much longer. It could be soon. Are you ready? No. Well, how can you get ready? Confess yourself a sinner, repent of your sins, and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Scripture, as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God's. John 1, verses 12 and 13. At all clients, or at all costs, make absolutely sure you are a forgiven sinner. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're all ready to meet Christ in the clouds of glory. We'll praise the Lord Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. And we will have the next lesson is the indestructible Jew.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket, be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater. From the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashtabula, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's SIXEYES space RADIO. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there, and once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week, and you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app, Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, as we pull into the station with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, Ruth, who do we got on board with us?
Well, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
All right. Well, obviously, we know what requests we already made, so we're going to have you give us a closing prayer, but we want to remind everybody of the upcoming programs tomorrow here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. First off, on Station 2, you call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can catch The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio Network, Station 2. And then on Station 1, right here, the station that you have been listening to, 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617, at 9 p.m., The Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick. And then, of course, on Friday, you can find on Station 2 at 6 p.m., My Daddy's Records with Brother Six Eyes at 6 p.m. Eastern. And then on Station 1 at 8:30 p.m., you can catch AJ and the Squad, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. All right, Ruth, give us a closing prayer, and we'll say God bless and good night.
Well, Lord, Emily had brought in Mom Barnum. Susie, Emily had an issue tonight that she needs prayer. Betty Fell in Oklahoma. Rhonda and Donnie possibly going to a trip to Ashtabula. So we'll see what your will is in all this, Lord, and be with the people in Israel. And be the people in Ashtabula and everywhere else. So the people on the show hopefully had a good time. So we love and praise and bless your name. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody.